Rav Herschel Schechter, The Legacy of the Rav, Reflections of the Talmud, February 23rd, 2018.
Welcome to another wonderful program for the Beit Shemesh Community Beit Midrash Initiative. Sorry for a little bit of a delay downstairs. We ask everyone to please put their cell phones on silent or vibrate. I'll remember to do that to myself. With this event, we have reached over 3,500 individual hours of learning in our Beit Midrash initiative since we started 2.5 years ago. I say over 3,500 because I'm not exact, but I know that we're over that number already. We'd like to ask the Mor Da'asra of Beit Midrash Torah Naomi, Rav Raviv, to say a few words of introduction, and then ask Rav Shach to speak.
הרמב״ם מהלכות תלמוד תורה אומר גדולי חכמי ישראל היו מהן חוטבי עצים ומהן שואבי מים ומהן סומים ואף על פי כן היו עוסקים בתלמוד תורה ביום ובלילה והם מכלל מעתיקי השמועה איש מפי איש מפי משה רבינו. הרמב״ם מחדש ביטוי שלא נמצא במקום אחר בחזל, מעתיקי שמועה. בדרך כלל הביטוי שחזל משתמשים לדבר על מישהו שקיבל מהרב והעביר לדור הבא לקוח מאליעזר, באליעזר כתוב שהוא דולה ומשקה מתורת רבו. אבל הרמב״ם לא מזכיר את הביטוי הזה, הוא אומר מעתיקי שמועה. ראיתי שרב צדוק באחד הספרים מסביר מה ההבדל. אומר רב צדוק, דולה ומשקה מתורת רבו, זה כשיש באר של מים, הוא יודע לקחת את המים מהבאר ולהעביר הלאה. אבל כשאין באר והבאר מתייבשת, זהו, שם זה נגמר. הוא לא יכול להביא מים שלא קיימים. אבל מעתיק ישמועה, כשאדם מעתיק משהו, זה על מנת שיתקיים לימים רבים, לדורות רבים. והרמב״ם בחר להגיד מעתיק ישמועה, אומר רב צדוק, בגלל שמעתיקי ישמועה, גם כאשר עוברים הרבה דורות, גם כאשר הרב כבר הלך לעולם שכולו טוב, עדיין התלמיד יודע לדבר בשם רבו ולהעביר את המסורת ולבנות ככה את המסורת של עם ישראל. So, אני לא בוגר וואיו, אבל זיכה אותי הקדוש ברוך הוא, שבעבודה השנייה שלי אני זוכה כמעט כל שנה לשמוע את הרב שכטר, שכולם מן המפורסמות לא צריכים ראיה, אבל נדמה לי שאין ספק, וזה מה שרציתי להגיד, ואין ספק שאם יש מעתיקי שמועה על הרב סולובייצ'יק זצ"ל, אז הרב שכטר הוא ודאי מן מעתיקי השמועה, הוא בוודאי מאלה שמעבירים את המסורה לדור הבא. ומכל הדברים האחרים הנפלאים, גם בחינוך, גם בגדלות תורנית, גם בפסיקה, יש לנו זכות גדולה מאוד, גדולה מאוד, לשמוע שיעור הרב שכטר. אני רוצה בהזדמנות הזאת גם להודות לבריין, למייק, למרק, ולכל אלה שעוסקים במלאכה מדי פעם להביא לנו לכל יום שישי את הזכות לשמוע ממש מהגדולים שבגדולים, ובאמת תודה רבה, ובבקשה רב שכטר.
Today Shira Zecha Nishmas Seth Goldberg's father. We share the same yard site together. Zecha Nishmas, my father as well. I thought maybe just to say over many of the Hanhogas of Rav Soloveitchik, which are very fascinating. Many of them you may be familiar with, others you may not have heard. In all the shuls where I daven, Shachar begins, the Chazan starts saying Birchas HaShachar. By the Yekis, the Chazan starts by saying Adon Olam. Then he says Anatilus Yadayim. Then he says Ashi Yotzar. Then he says Birchas HaShachar. So Rav Soloveitchik spent a few years in Germany, and he saw the way the Chazan begins davening from Adon Olam. So he said, the minig in many shuls is at the end of Musaf on Shabbos morning, a Yontif morning, many shuls on Leil, Shabbos and Leil Yontif, that the Kehillah sings together Adon Olam. So what is that all about? Why are they singing Adon Olam? So he said, the Gemara says in Brochas that the Shlosha Dvarim Tzrichim Chizuk, there are three things that you have to be Mischazek. Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara. Even if you did it once, you have to repeat it again a second time. One of the things is Tfilah. Even if you daven once, you have to daven again a second time. Daven again a third time. So Rav Soloveitchik said, Shachris begins with Adon Olam. So when you finish Musaf, you sing again, Adon Olam Tishel, I'm prepared to start davening all over again. When you daven Ma'ariv, on Leil Shabbos, Leil Yontif, you sing Adon Olam. So what you mean is, I'm prepared to start davening all over again. That's what it means, Tzrich Mechizah. Some shuls, they sing Yigdal. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that doesn't make any sense at all. What are they singing Yigdal for? Then the Behetev, in commentary on Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Arizal that he's opposed to saying Yigdal period. Forget about the end of it. Why is he opposed to Yigdal? It's very unclear. So I saw Rav David Cohen from Flatbush has quite a few volumes on the Siddur. So he gives a whole explanation. Fascinating explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the explanation was that the Arizal held that this was Chukas Akum, that by the Catholics, part of their prayer service is that they recite, I think they call it catechism, they recite all of their animamins, what the Ikori Hamunah are. That was never part of our prayer service. We start with Shevach, and we conclude with Hoidoyah, and in the middle we say the Bakoshas. We don't say the animamins. So this idea to introduce the animamins, it's an imam at the end of davening privately, but that should be part of the prayer service to say Yigdal. Yigdal is a review of all the Yud Gimel and Yikari Emunah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the opposition of the Arizal to reciting Yigdal is because it was a Chukas Akum, because they had picked it up from the Catholics. Very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik's practice used to be that when he would put on tefillin, Moshe Feinstein used to put on film the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He put on the Shal Yad just over here. Then he put on the Shal Rosh. He shouldn't be mafsik in between the Hanocha Shal Yad and Hanocha Shal Rosh. He wanted the bracha laniach tefillin to go on the Shal Rosh as well. But Moshe would do like it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Only put on the Shal Yad till here. Then he put on the Shal Rosh. Then he put on the Krichas. Most people don't follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Most people follow what the later Achraim say. You put on the whole Shal Yad, but you leave out the Krichas, and they give a whole explanation of Pikabola, why you leave out the Krichas before you put on the Shal Rosh. Rav Soloveitchik's family used to follow many practices from Balozhin. So one of the early Talmidim of Balozhin was Rabbi Yankala Kalina, the author of the Mishkanes Yankiv. So Mishkanes Yankiv has a lot of tshuvas and Hilchas Tefillin. So when we were learning Hilchas Tefillin in Yeshiva, so Rav Soloveitchik liked very much the Mishkanes Yankiv. He said he writes on Hilchas Tefillin like a Rishon. He said we should use the Mishkanes Yankiv. Mishkanes Yankiv is a whole explanation why you have to put on the whole Shal Yad before you put on the Shal Rosh. Even the Krichas on the finger is supposed to put on the Shal Yad. The Gemara says how long the Mitzvah has to be. The Gemara says long enough to be Kerich around the finger. So there's a Machloikis in the Rishon. What does that mean? That's the length of the Mitzvah, but if that's not the Mitzvah of Hanocha Shal Yad. Hanocha Shal Yad, put it over here, you go to the Shal Yad. Oh, no. If you don't put the Krichas on your finger, you have to put the whole Krichas on the Shal Yad. If you don't put, you didn't put on the Shal Yad yet. You're supposed to put on the Shal Yad before the Shal Rosh. That was Rav Soloveitchik's practice. He didn't mention it, but others write that was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's practice, the Chofetz Chaim's practice. Many Gedolim in Europe had that practice. They followed the Mishkanes Yankiv on this, that you have to put on all the Krichas on the Shal Yad before you put on the Shal Rosh at all. So they actually pointed out that when we say Baruch Shamar, we say B'shiri Dover Abdecha Nalelchon Shabechecha Nefo'ercha. So the Shiri Dover Abdecha is Tehillim. So it's interesting, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillah that many have the minhag that after they finish the whole Pesukah of the Zimmer, they say Yishtabach, so then they say Oz Yosher. We have the minhag that we say Oz Yosher before Yishtabach. Why did the Ram have the minhag to say Oz Yosher after Yishtabach? So he said, because it doesn't belong in Pesukah de Zimmer. Pesukah de Zimmer is supposed to be reserved only for Tehillim, Shiri David Abdecha. So the Rambam had such a minhag to say Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. Shouldn't be part of Tehillim. Shouldn't be part of the Pesukah de Zimmer. But we say Shiri David Abdecha, Nahalelcha, Unishabechacha. We will be Meshabecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu. then we say, we realize we haven't said enough Shebach, as much as Yisei didn't say enough. So we give up and we say, Yishtabach Shimcha lo ad Malkeinu. We give up, we can't be Meshabech you. On Shabbos, when we say Nishmas Kochai, so we say, Ein Anach Nichaylem, even if we have we can't really be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore you say, V'chein Yishtach Shemcha, your name should be praised, but we give up, we can't do it. So even on the weekdays, when you don't say Nishmas Kol Chai, we don't emphasize that, but that's what it means. We started off in Baruch Shamar, every day you say, Shiridai Avdecha Nishabechacha, we will be Meshabech you. And then at the end, we realize it's impossible, we can't be Meshabech Him. But we say, Yishtabach Shemcha, may you be praised. Well, we give up, we really can't do it. We're not able to do it properly. When we recite Kriya Shema every day, so the Gemara says the first parsha, Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. What exactly is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kriya Shema, he gives you the definition. So he says that Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim consists of Yichudo Ahavasa V'Talmudoi. Yichudo means we believe in one God, Hashem Echad. Ahavasa means you have to have Hashem Akech Talav HaKadosh Baruch and Talmudo. So what does Talmudo mean? So that's a serious question, how to translate the words of the Rambam. So Rav Soloveitchik, some of the professors interpret it differently, but Rav Soloveitchik interpreted Talmud, it means Talmud Torah, because he mentioned in the first two parshias the significance of Talmud Torah. And then the Rambam writes, Hu Hoikar HaGadol Shakol Taliboy. So many interpret Hu Hoikar HaGadol Shakol Taliboy, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is the most important part of the Jewish religion. Rav Soloveitchik did not read like that. Every couple of years he would mention this interpretation. The Rambam said there are three parts, A, B, and C, to Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, Yichudo, Ahavasa, V'Talmudo, V'Hu, and the third one, Ha'ikar HaKadosh HaKol Talibo, the most important aspect of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, is Talmud Torah. This was his interpretation. And he would emphasize the significance of Liman HaTorah with respect to Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. When we daven Shemoneh Esrei, the middle brachas, we have 13 brachas, the bakoshes. So the last is Shmak Aleinu Chus V'Rachim Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all of our tefillas. So we say, V'skabel V'Rachamim V'Ratzein Es Tefillah Seinu. Now Soloveitchik mentioned quite a few times that a lot of times people daven and they don't really know what's in their best interests. A boy is chalashing to marry a certain girl and prays to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the girl should agree to marry him. A boy wants to go to a certain university, he wants to get a job in a certain business, and he doesn't realize that that'll be awful for him. He'll get ruined if he goes to that university. If he marries that girl, it'll ruin his life. So at the end of Shema Kaleinu, he says, Kabel Barachamim Uberotzen Es Tefillah Seinu. You should only accept those prayers that you know make sense. Edit the tefillahs. Leave out, don't accept those prayers that don't make sense. Rav Soloveitchik said, how many tefillahs he davened when his parents lived in America already. His parents moved to America and he was still in Europe. He wanted to stay with all the tzaddikim and all the chassidim. He didn't want to go to America. He said he offered so many tefillahs not to come to America. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to his parents. He would have been killed by the Nazis like everybody else. And how many prayers he offered? He wanted to be the president of Yeshiva College when Dr. Rebel passed away. There was a big machlokes among the Talmidim who went to appoint as Rosh Yeshiva. Then there was Machlokes whom to appoint as the president of the college. He wanted to be both. And he says he would have had to run around and raise money. Dr. Belkin was the most beloved Rebbe in the yeshiva. That's why the Tambina voted him in as the Rosh Yeshiva. He used to read the boy Shiduchim. He used to give them money for the dates. He used to pat them on the back. Rav Soloveitchik used to go back to Boston. So the Tambina didn't really like him so much in the early years. He said if he would have been the president, he would have had to develop the whole school to become the big yeshiva university. Dr. Belkin had to give up learning. He was the most beloved Rebbe. Then he had to give up learning in order to develop everything. So he said, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not answer his prayers in the affirmative, because that would have been detrimental to him. Best thing is that he didn't become president and he didn't become Rosh Yeshiva. It's interesting. The Mishnah Brura in Simikuf Chavchez quotes from Rabbi Yankov Emden in his Sefer Morik Tzio, the Duchening Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabban. It cannot possibly be min haTorah, because the Gemara says in Masech HaSoit and Perek El HaNemorim, where the whole, all the dinim of Nesias Kapayim are spelled out, the Mishnah says which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, which can be fulfilled in translation. So the Kriya Shema is a machlokes, and davening you can say in translation. So duchen has to be in the original Hebrew. So the Gemara there in Saita has all the details regarding the Nesias Kapayim. So the Gemara says, based on Pesukim in Parshas Tzav, Ve'yisara nesiyoda ve'alom ve'ivochem ve'yer me'asos hachatos ve'olot, the beginning of Tzav, I think. So the Gemara says, duchening is only observed at the conclusion of Havkorobas Karbonas Tzibur. So if you have no Beis HaMikdash, you're not bringing any Karbonas Tzibur, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, so the duchening can't possibly be there, right? So that's what Rabbi Akiva Feminin says. So the Mishnah Brura quotes it in a footnote. It's not even in the Shaar HaTzion. It's on the bottom of the page, below the Shaar HaTzion. He has an asterisk, and he says that he quotes Rabbi Akiva, and then he says it's against all the Gemaras. He quotes Gemaras, and he quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei, from the Sifro, that Duchening Mizman is as there is. So the question is, all right, so Rabbi Akiva Feminin is wrong, but he's right. But he has a Gemara. The Gemara said the Ferish. So Rasul Lechik explained, he said, oh, we're Karen Ira, but the way he said it, he explained it a little better than the Karen Ira. So Karen Ira says, with Rasul Lechik's elaboration, in the end of Shmakal, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmakal and Kaba Barach Mimirot and Estrel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all the prayers that we said. We say 13 brachas in the middle, so the first 12 brachas we have Bakoshes, 13th bracha we say, listen to our prayers. So right after you finish Shema Tfila, you say, Atsheyash, Ritzeyash, Shemokena, Bam Chisol, this we lost. The Kaddish Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. That's what we just said. Kabbal Barach Mibarot, and Israel said, what do you say, Vaiter? It said, Bam Chisol, this we lost. So he said from the Baal HaTanya, that the Tanya writes in one place that the term Ritzui appears in Tanakh many times, Rube, the Rube, the Rube, in connection with HaKrobos HaKrobonis. Vinitzolo Lachaparolov. And the Mishnah is out like that. When you bring a korban and it's kosher, so it says hurtzo. And if the korban is basal, so it says loy hurtzo, not acceptable. So first it says Shema Kaleinu Iskabel Berach Mimirotz, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Then we say Ritzei Hashem Okei V'am Chisal this we lost. He should accept our prayers as if we had offered a korban. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So the prayers are accepted as if we offered a korban. So there are two types of korbanos. There's a korban yochid and there's a korban tzibur. So the Shilti Giborim at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah writes a mashal. Just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too there's a Tfilas HaYochid and there's a Tfilas HaTzibur. That was famous. That was my father, Zichron Livracha, who's your tzaddik that it is today. My father said he remembers that when Rav Soloveitchik came from Europe by boat, Sir Moshe Soloveitchik, my father went for Moshe Soloveitchik in Yeshiva College. So Moshe Soloveitchik took all the Talmidim to the dock to greet his son when he came from Europe. So they made up that the next day, the second day he landed in America, he's going to give a shiur in the yeshiva. So the first shiur that he gave in Yeshiva College at that time was on this topic of Tfilas HaTzibur and Tfilas Bitzibur. Two different things. When everybody davens Balachash, that's Tfilas HaYochid Bitzibur. 10 people are davening together. When the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, it's not just that he's davening in order that we should say Kedushin. That's Tfilas HaTzibur. The whole Tzibur is offering one Tfilah, just like the Shulti Gibbon drew the distinction between a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur. So there's a Tfilas HaYochid and a Tfilas HaTzibur. And just like the Shulti Gibbon writes, just like when the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash are makriv the Korbanos Tzibur, so all the Jews all over the world are Yotzei. We're not there in the Azara. All the Jews in Chutz Lortz are Yotzei. So too, the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, when the Chazan in Shul, in order to have Chazar Sashans, you have to have a minion in the Shul, you have to have people answering Amen. But once the Chazan repeats the Chazar Sashats in the Shul, so the Gemara says, the Am Shabbasar Sayotze, even the people, the farmers, who didn't come into town, they didn't come into davening, they're all Yotze with the Chazar Sashats. What do you mean they're Yotze? That's like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, the Makar of the Karbon Tzibur, so the Jews all over the world are Yotze. So the Chazan's repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei is Tfilas HaTzibur. So the whole Tzibur, I don't think the people in Chicago are Yotze because you have a Chazar Sashats in New York, but all the people in New York, all the people that live in the same city, they're Yotze with that Chazar Sashats. The people in Chicago are Yotze with the Chazar Sashats in Chicago. So the Kevin Oiran and Saito has this idea that when the Chazan repeats the Shemon Esrei, that's a Tfilos Hatzibur. So when a Yochid davens the Yochid, he says, Ritzei Hashem Kerem Amchis Olavis Tfilos, and Kodesh Baruch Hu should accept the prayers as if I brought a korban. So it's considered as if he brought a korban Yochid. When the Chazan, who's saying Tfilos Hatzibur, says, Ritzei Hashem Kerem Amchis Olavis Tfilos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he brought a korban Tzibur. So at the conclusion of Korbanos Tzibur, you can duchen Minatoyrah. Minatar. This is Minatar. That's how the Karavanar explains. He says, my brother, he quotes my brother. He often, every so often, quotes from the Mishkanes Yankov. That was his older brother. When the Mishkanes Yankov passed away, so the Karavanar lived in the towns, so he took over the Rabbanis. So this is all based on the Mishkanes Yankov as part of this story. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to explain. That we have, at the conclusion of Chazoras HaShatz, we are able to have Duchening, the Araisa. Because when the Chazan recites Ritzei B'Amchis Olavis Filosam, the Tfilos HaTzibur is converted into a Korban Tzibur. So that's the din. At the conclusion of Korban HaTzibur, you can duchen. And that's why the minig is, in Chutzlot, the minig is that on Yontif, when we duchen, minig usually in most shuls that you don't duchen all year long, just on Yontif. So on Yontif, when you do duchen, so you say the piyut, how does the piyut go? You should accept our tefillos as if we have brought karbonos. So even if you don't say that piyut, that's what it means without that. Ritzo means, hurtza means a karbon. So the piyut is just to spell out what's included, what's contained in that first line. Ritzo means karbonos. The tefillos at tzibur should be accepted as if it was a karbon tzibur. And at the conclusion of Akrovas Karbon Tzibur, then you can duchen. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that he visited Brisk a few times when he was young. He was really influenced by his mother's father, more so than his father's father. He used to learn with Reb Elia Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein's uncle was Reb Elia Feinstein. That was Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, his maternal grandfather. Rav Soloveitchik's mother and Reb Moshe Feinstein were first cousins. Her maiden name was Feinstein. So he said he used to learn with his grandfather. They didn't have electric lights. They had candles. So they were learning at night. So the candles would go out at a certain point. So Reb Elia Feinstein would continue to learn with him. Gemara Rashi Taisus. He said it all by heart. He said, just because the candles go out, there's no reason why you have to stop learning. So he kept on saying the Gemara and the Rashi to taste it by heart. And he said a few times as a child, he visited three or four times, he visited Rav Chaim. He said it was very scary. Rav Chaim had a different style of hanhagah. So he said a few times he was in Brisk. So he said in Brisk, so he picked up different minhagim. So in Brisk, he said the minhag was that they would say a hoche kedusha. If somebody came late to shul, he would start saying Shemon Esrei out loud in order to say kedusha, but they wouldn't say the Baruch Hu Basra. Why? Because the Mishnah Megillah talks about Paras HaLashma, and Rashi and the Rishonim have a whole discussion what is this Paras HaLashma all about. So I think the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam quotes the Ritva and the Gemara Megillah, what is Paras HaLashma all about? 10 people daven b'yichidus. They daven the whole davening. Then they come together and they want to say Baruch Hu. Say Baruch Hashem Baruch Baruch Hashem Baruch Liyalam Vlad. And then they walk away. You say Baruch Hashem Baruch Liyalam Vlad. Let's say a bracha. Then you walk away. It's a chira v'gidav. You didn't say a bracha. You can't say a bracha Baruch Hu without saying something. So they have to continue with something. So they say the first bracha of Shema, even though they all said the bracha of Shema at home when they daven b'yichidus. You have to say again a bracha. It's not a bracha of Avtala, because when you say bracha, it's Hashem bracha, Hashem bracha, you're on the void. You have to say a bracha. The Rav Soloveitchik said he understands the meaning in Kehilas, but they say bracha basra before Aleinu. So he said bracha, Hashem bracha, you're on the void. Then he said Aleinu l'shapech. He prays HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this morning I daven, I have yahrzeit, so I daven for an omer this morning. So I daven in the shul where the meaning is, like it's printed in the siddur, meaning Eretz Yisrael. That they say Aleinu. And they say everything. And everybody walks away. Rav Soloveitchik said that in Brisk they wouldn't do that. He was opposed also. He said you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Basra. If you want to say, you should say it before Aleinu. So he's saying a Shevach after the Baruch. Say Baruch Hu Basra. He said the meaning in Brisk was that you don't do that. Is the bracha?
That's what I heard
from his father. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik said he had two grandfathers who were tzikrik about the nature of Kriyas HaTorah. He said Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his father's father, was of the opinion that Kriyas HaTorah is a chavis hayochid, which could only be fulfilled by tzibur. So even when Rav Chaim was traveling out of town in order to attend some rabbinical conference, and he missed, he was davening on the train or something, he would daven yichidus and he would miss Kriyas HaTorah, he would see to it that before the end of the day, on a Monday or a Thursday, he would gather together a minion of people and he would learn Kriyas HaTorah. He said his other grandfather, Rabbi Elia Prusian, Rabbi Elia Feinstein, showed from the Ramban, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Mohammed from Megillah, that Kriyas HaTorah is a chavis HaTzibur, not a chavis HaYochid. So he would always follow, not Nekudi, he would always follow his father's father. So a lot of times he would come into the yeshiva on a Monday morning or a Shchodesh morning, he would have to daven the yechidus in order to get a train, in order to get a plane. So he would always ask at the end of Shia, is there anybody, by show of him, is there anybody who missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? So there would always be 10 people. it wasn't such a big Shia. There were only 30 boys in the Shia. There would always be another 9 people who missed Kriyas HaTorah. They're afraid to raise their hand, but there were always 9 people who were absolutely. So he used to say, he used to daven mincha afterwards, he would say Ashrei, then they said Chatzikadit, then they took out the Sefer Torah. So the people who had passed by in the hallway in the yeshiva, they thought, new minig Rabbi Soloveitchik has, you lay by mincha, shayim ha-chamishi, lay by mincha, shayim. It wasn't the new minig, because if you missed Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, so many poskim hold that you can make it up even in the afternoon, not only on Shabbos. It's a question in Shulchan Aruch. Some poskim say if you didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, bizman musa, then you can't learn Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. The parsha on Shavuot, because Shabbos afternoon, there's a separate takana to lay next week's sedra. So it's no longer this month for the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. So that's a Shabbat. I said there was a big snowstorm in the morning, or something happened, and you missed Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. Can you be yotzei Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon after Chatzos? So there are many poskim hold that not. But on a regular Shavuot Chamisha, there is no Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. So Kol HaYom is the Zman of Kriyas HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik followed his grandfather's practice that he would try to see to it. He felt that Kriyas HaTorah was a chavis HaYochid, and he would put together a minyan in the afternoon. By Kriyas HaTorah, there is a Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara says that the Gemara says in Sotah, Kivish Niftach Sefer Torah, once you open up the Sefer Torah for the purpose of Leidin, also the Dabar Afilu B'Divrei Torah. No one's allowed to talk, even Divrei Torah. Not allowed to talk to Ram B'Telem, and even Divrei Torah, you're not allowed to talk. So the problem, Tosis and the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha. The Gemara in Brocha says, Rav Sheshis, Mahadar Api Vigoris. Rav Sheshis would turn his back away from the Sefer Torah when they were leaning, and he would recite Mishnayos during Kriyas HaTorah. So, Ayitoch, isn't this against the Halacha? Kimishiniftach Sefer Torah, also the Saper, Afilu B'Divrei Torah. So the Rishonim give different suggestions. So Tosis there in Brocha has one suggestion. Mahadar Api is a heter. If you turn your back to the Sefer Torah's mutter, why is that so? So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted Pshat and Tosis, and he used to follow this opinion that the Pasuk in Nehemiah, when it describes Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash, when they opened the Beis HaMikdash by Yesheni, they opened up on Rosh Hashanah. And there were 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that year, Yetzim and Aklam, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Beis HaMikdash. So it says, they were leaning Kriyas HaTorah, Fnei Emel HaSeif, everybody was facing the Sefer Torah. So Soloveitchik understood Pshat and Tosis that when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, only those who are facing the Sefer Torah are mitzuref to the minyan, and only those who are facing are yotzei. Those who are not facing the Sefer Torah are not yotzei. So many shuls in America, many shuls all over the world, the receipts in between the shulchan and the Oren Kodesh. So the people who have their backs to the Sefer Torah, so Rav Soloveitchik thought they should turn around b'shas Kriyas HaTorah. If they don't turn around, asvara one day in Tosis that you're not yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. In Shulchan Aruch it says, when you have a shul, it says the Rabbanim should sit in the front facing the Tzibur. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't do that. In Germany, many of the Rabbanim didn't face the Tzibur. They faced Mizrach. They faced the same direction everybody else did. Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he davened in Boston, he used to face Mizrach. But when it came to Kriyas HaTorah, he would turn around because it is Tosfos that there's a possibility that whoever has to be Fnei Emel HaSefer, whoever doesn't turn to the Sefer Torah, it's a swear that you're not Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. So he would be Machmer on that. Dovi Yodua, when Rabbi Soloveitchik, we get an Aliyah, we were wondering, what is this man doing everything different from everybody else? We get an aliyah, he would open up the Sefer Torah, then he would turn to the side and say, Baruch Hashem Hashem Avraham. We didn't know, what is he doing? We never saw anybody do that. Then we learn Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Gemara in the end of Megillah has a machlokes hatanoim. When you get an aliyah, you're about to lane, so you have to look, you have to open up the Sefer Torah, look at the place where you're going to lane. And then there's a machlokes hatanoim, what do you do next? So one Tana is of the opinion, Kadesh of the Yomer, people shouldn't think brachas ksuvas ba-sefer, shouldn't think the brachas appear in the Sefer Torah, so you should close the Sefer Torah. So it's obvious that you're not saying the brachas from the Sefer Torah. And then you say the bracha, shabach habana, then you open up the Sefer Torah, and you lay. And the other Tana, so that's the first Tana. The other Tana says, now, paseh v'roye, umevarach, you open up the Sefer Torah, and you can say the bracha while it's open. So Tosfos comments on the Gemara, if you close the Sefer Torah, it's better. But the next Tana says, it's not necessary to close the Sefer Torah. You don't have to be concerned about brachas kuvas batar. If you close the Sefer Torah, it's even better. So many Rabbanim assume that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos, and the Rambam holds that more correct is, you should not close the Sefer Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he remembered in Europe, there were many Gedolim who would be choshish for the Rambam's opinion, they wouldn't close the Sefer Torah. So the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch say, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Bach, what's the reason why the Rambam seems to be insisting that you should not close the Sefer Torah? Because you're going to close the Sefer Torah, it'll be over the over. It's supposed to say, Bichas HaMetzvah, over Asi Yosam. The Gemara doesn't say Kodim, the Gemara says over. So what is the Mashmos of the word over? Over means immediately before. If they would have said, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam, Baruch Aleim, Kodim Asi Yosam, Kodim Kim, you can say the Bracha a few minutes before. Over means immediately before. So if you got to close the Sefer Torah, then you have to open it. So it's going to take another 2 seconds till you open it, until you find a place. There's going to be a pause. So preferable is you leave the Sefer Torah open. It shouldn't be over the open. So Soloveitchik said he thinks that it's more than that. Not just that you got to open the Sefer Torah, you have to find a place again. It's going to take a little more time. He thought maybe the pshat is like this. Maybe the psichas ha-sefer is mechayiv in the kriya. So if you close the Sefer, so you're no longer chayiv. So that's why it's over the open. When you close the Sefer Torah, there's no longer a chiyuv. So that'll be over the over. You close the Sefer Torah, there's no chiyuv. So you sing a bracha before there's a chiyuv, then you have to open it to create the chiyuv. So that's why he was makta davke, to leave the Sefer Torah open. And then, many people don't observe this. This says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, when you finish your aliyah, then you have to close the Sefer Torah first, before you say bracha shalom. Why? Because kol zman the Sefer Torah is open, you still mukhiyuv to lein baita 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 until the Eni Kol Yisrael. So what are you saying a bracha achrayna for? You didn't finish the chiyuv aliyah. When you close the Sefer Torah, that patters you. Then there's no longer a chiyuv. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that says in the Gemara, when you say the bracha shalachrayah, shalach salana, you have to close the Sefer Torah. So then she gave the hesber. He thinks that perhaps the pshat is that the psichas ha-sefer is mechayiv in the kriya, and closing the Sefer patters you from the kriya. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says that the minig is, in order to demonstrate that brachas are not ksuvas b'Torah, so you tilt to the left, and it's obvious that you're not reading the brachas from the Sefer Torah. Why should you tilt to the left? Because if we face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're leaning to his right. If this is our left, we're leaning to his right. So we face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tilting a little bit to the right. The Rav Soloveitchik used to observe this minig, as it says in the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah says that the minig is no longer like that. But Rav Soloveitchik used to be a very big stickler on Menhagim. So whatever minig says in Shulchan Aruch, you got to follow in the minhag of Shulchan Aruch. Even then the Mishnah Berurah says that nobody does that anymore. He used to follow all the minhagim in the Shulchan Aruch. I remember my uncle learned by Rav Soloveitchik, much older than me. He passed away already. He's around 15 years old, at least 15 years older than me. He said, when he learned by Rav Soloveitchik, they learned by Basra in 1 year till Dav Samach, till the end of Cheskat Batim in 1 year. Quite a feat. So my uncle published the Sefer. Zichreinus from Rav Soloveitchik is a nightingale. They took when the government required all the Jews have to take family names, so that family took the name Soloveitchik, which means nightingale, which is a bird that sings nicely, because their tradition was that they were from the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash who used to sing. The Levim were divided into two groups. There were Shorim and there were Shorim. Those who locked the gates, those who opened and locked the gates, and those who used to sing. So their family tradition was that they were descendants from the Meshorim who sang, so they took the name Soloveitchik, which means a nightingale. Rav Zaleshi did not have a good voice, but that was their family tradition, that they were descendants from Ben Meshurim. So my uncle wrote a book, Echoes of the Nightingale. He writes in Chronos, he's not sure, he thinks he heard this from Rav Zaleshi, maybe he didn't, so it's called Echoes of the Nightingale. He writes one of the things, he was once driving Rav Zaleshi back to Boston by car, and it was the last night to say Kiddush Levana. Rav Zaleshi didn't say Kiddush Levana yet, so he asked if he could stop the car. They both got out of the car. Rav Zaleshi said Kiddush Levana. Then he said to my uncle, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, said three times. So I was wondering, where did he get that from? Did he say three times to the same person? So I decided I'll look in the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim quotes all kinds of unusual minhagim, but before you find a place in the Kaf HaChaim on the bottom of the page, you have to find on the top of the page where it says the session. So I looked on the top of the page. Lo and behold, that's what it says on the top of the page. It says, V'oim malach avera, gimel pamim, shalom aleichem. It says, he say to one person, shalom aleichem. He says, aleichem shalom. Three times to the same person. Doesn't he say to three different people? So I remember, after Rav Goldwich, Zichron Levracha, already retired from Kerem Yavne, so I once went to visit him, and he asked me, I should tell him all the hanhogas from Rav Zaleshi. He was chalashim tiyek. He was very close to Rav Elvalo Zaleshi. He wanted to hear more hanhogas. So I told him, I came across this new hanhoga. I didn't know, I was never near Rav Zaleshi, but he said Kiddush Levana. I read in my uncle Sefer that he said three times to the same person. He said, Daddy knows, Rav Elvalo always did that. Rav Elvalo used to have a minion in his home on Matzoy Shabbos, and then they would go outside every month and say Kiddush Levana, and there were 25 people there. He wouldn't say to three people. All he said to the same person, Shalom Aleichem, three times. Said, Daddy knows, he wants to hear more hanhogas. He never said that. He never saw Barabella. Apparently that was the family he practiced. They followed what it said in Shulchan. There are a lot of things like that. He used to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, even though the Mishnah Berurah says that that is no longer the minhag. Rav Zaleshi had a family tradition, a chiddush. The Rambam, in the end of Perek Aleph and Hilchos Brachos, writes that whenever a person wants to be yotzei bracha from someone else, someone says kiddush avdala, so the proper practice is to say amen at the end of the bracha. And even if you don't want to be yotzei the bracha, the person is saying bar nefashos, is saying asher yotzei, whatever, so you hear someone say a bracha, the proper practice is you say amen. But even if I want to be Yotzei Kiddush and Abdallah from someone else and I didn't say Amen, so the Gemara says in Sukkah that Shamea Ke'oina, one of his, the bracha from someone else, he paid attention, Yotzei even didn't say Amen. Then the Rambam writes, when he writes about Bichas Hamazon, when you bench Mezumen, so the Rambam, in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that only the Mezamin said the Bichas Hamazon, and the listeners only said Amen. So the Rambam says again, you have to say Amen. And by Chazar HaSashatz also, the Rambam says, Chazan repeats the Shmon Esher, and the whole Tzibba says Amen. So the question was this, why did he have to repeat this by benching Mezumen and by Chazar HaSashatz? He already wrote in the end of Perek Aleph and Hilchas Brachas, whenever you hear a Brachas, someone else, you say Amen. Whenever you want to be Yotze, you should certainly say Amen. But even if you didn't say Amen, you're Yotze. So why does he repeat it here? So that's what the Soloveitchik family assumed. They quoted the name Rav Chaim, the name Rav Elvalo. So Rav Soloveitchik said the same. It would appear that if you don't answer Amen to the Chazaras Hashatz and to the Bench Mezumen, you're not Yotzi. Mat pitom, you're not Yotzi. The Gemara says, Shamea Ke'oine. The Rambam himself quotes it. If you listen to Kiddush and Abdallah, even if you didn't say Amen, you are Yotzi. So why should you say by Chazaras Hashatz and by Bench Mezumen that if you didn't say Amen, you're not Yotzi? So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shir on this. He pointed out there's another discrepancy. Rabbi Kivege has a hechacha from a Tosfos in Brachas that you can say Shemei Koina on a half a bracha. Let's say someone says Kiddush and he says half of the Kiddush, then someone else says the second half of the Kiddush. And I'm the third person. I heard the first half of Kiddush from one person, second half of the bracha on Kiddush from another person. Rabbi Kivege has a Tosfos in Brachas where he shows in the Drush v'Chiddush that you can say Shemei Koina on a half a bracha. Nonetheless, there's a Mishnah in Brachas that says, Shat Shatah, if the Chazan made a mistake, he got stuck in the middle of the Bracha. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have a Siddur. So the Chazan is saying the whole Chazar HaSashatz Baal Peh. The Nusach HaTvila was considered a Chelek of the Torah Baal Peh, wasn't permissible to write it down. The Gemara says, Kosvei Brachas Kisar Fei Torah, the Gemara in Kol Kisvei, Masechah Shabbos. The Hetah to write down Torah Baal Peh came in stages. So first, They allowed writing down Mishnayos, and years later, centuries later, they permitted writing down the Gemara, and then later they permitted writing down the Nusach HaTfilah, the Siddur, and later, years later, they permitted writing down the Machzer, the Nusach for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Balamor writes in Rosh Hashanah. So they actually used to mention this every year, that the Balamor Rosh Hashanah says when he was growing up, the people didn't have a Machzer, and on Rosh Hashanah for Musaf, they didn't say Malchus and Redis and Sherpas. Only the Chazan had it, and the Chazan had it memorized. All the Tempsukim had it memorized, the whole Musaf and Malchus and Sherpas. And the Tzibur said a regular Musaf of seven brachas. The middle of brachas he said, like a Nisuch of Yontuch, Atab Chatanu Kalam, Titlan is Yama Zikarban Azeh. And Yerushalayim v'nach shibanim beis hamikdash, and we should bring the karbanos on Masofim like a regular musaf digashmanes. And the Chazan would say the nine brachas, and the Chazan would be moitzi the tzibur. Then the Balmor says when he got older, by the time he got older, then they already wrote down the nusach hatfilah for Rosh Hashanah for musaf, and everybody when he died in tefilah balach, everybody said ula malchus zechanes and shofes. So in the days of the Tanoim, the Chazan didn't have a siddur, he had a daven, the Chazaras HaShatz Baal Peh. So if the Chazan got stuck in the middle of Baruch Aleinu and he can't remember how to end off the bracha, so he sent up a new Shleach Tzibur, someone else takes over. So the Mishnah says he has to go, the new Shleach Tzibur has to take over, Metchilas HaBracha Shetor Zeh, has to go to the beginning of the bracha where the first Chazan got stuck. So why did he have to go to the Tchilas HaBracha? First Chazan said the first two lines in the brachas, let the next Shleach Tzibur take over from the middle. So it would appear that you don't allow Shemei Kohen on a half a bracha. And the same thing by Benchim Mezuman. There's a Gemara in the beginning of Shlosh HaShachlu where the Gemara says, we never do this. The Gemara says you can, when you bench Mezuman, you can divide it up among three different people. One person is going to say Til Azan HaSakol, one is going to say Noi Dilachot Til Halorot Valamos, and the third is going to say Rachim. So Tosfos quotes from the Rif, Pshat and the Gemara can only divide it among three people, and the fourth bracha tarameit of a fourth person, you can't divide a bracha in half. So it would appear from those Gemaras that you don't say Shemei Kohen and a half a bracha. So the Chazon Ish works on this, and Birchas Osher was a sefer written by Boshe Tiktina. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He gave Shurim and Volozhin during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Yes, every so often he quotes Rav Chaim Volozhin. So the Achrayim work on this kasha. How come sometimes you do allow Shemei Kohen on a half a bracha, sometimes you don't? So they give different suggestions. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion. Maybe there's a difference between a Birchas HaYochid and a Birchas HaTzibur. By Benchim Mezuman, the word is that the whole Chabura offers one Birchas HaMazon together. And Chazaras HaShatz, it's a Tfilas HaTzibur, the whole Tzibur together, is offering one Shemon Esri. So he said, maybe over there, the Halacha says that you don't allow a half a bracha, you have to have a bracha at a time. And maybe over there the pshat is that Ani Asomen is likuva because you have to have audience participation to make it into a Birchas HaTzibur. The Chazan is going to say, when you say Kiddush and Avdallah, that's a private bracha. So l'chatchila I should say Amen, but even if I didn't say Amen, I'm Yotze with Shemei Kohen. But if you want it to be a Birchas HaTzibur, Chazaras HaShatz is Tfilas HaTzibur, Benchim Mezuman is Birchas HaMazon B'chabura, it's not based on Shemei Kohen. It's not based on, we don't allow Shemei Kohen. The Ran in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes in Rishami that there are three cases where we don't permit Shemei Kohen. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Kriya Shema, because Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, every person should be in Mekabel HaMazon. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Tefillah. If you need a Shidduch, you need a Parnas, you need a Refuah, you should ask on your own. You shouldn't rely on someone else. You should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for yourself. When it comes to eating food, you ate the food yourself. You didn't ask the other person to eat an extra sandwich for you. So you should say your own bracha. So how come we do sometimes allow one person says on loitzi and everybody's yotzi? And when you veg mezuman, one person says the birchas hamazon and the others are yotzi? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, it says in Poskim like that. He explained that he made a chopper. It's not that we rely on Shemei Kohen. The whole chabur offers one hamoitzi and the whole chabur offers one birchas hamazon. So it's a birchas hamazon b'chabura. So he said, maybe there, whenever it's Birchas HaMazon, B'chabura, Brocha B'chabura, perhaps there, Ani Asamen is Likulam. So that's why, by the Rav Soloveitchik used to make an announcement every year before Tkiya Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's why they say, apparently Rav Elbel also did the same. Apparently this is the family practice. Before Tkiya Shofar, Rav Soloveitchik would make an announcement that they're going to blow Shofar in the middle of Tfilah Balachash. That was Rav Chaim's practice, like the Oruch. to blow shofar even in the middle of tefillah belacha, not just in chazaras hashatz. And then he would say that no one should daven ahead. You shouldn't daven ahead. When you get to the end of Malchias, it should wait till about the keb blow shofar. Then he would give musar every year. I don't know. I'm older than you. I'm older than everybody in the room. I've said this bracha more times than you. I know the Malchus Chana Shofar is by heart. How can you daven so quickly? He used to daven fast. But he said, how can you daven so quickly? I'm going to say Bashman Esra a little louder. He always used to daven a little louder. He said, I'm going to say the Tfilah of Alachash a little louder. Everybody's synchronized your davening with my davening. You should say along with me. And when I finish, Malchus, then the Baal Tekeh is going to blow. And then he would announce before the Baal Tekeh said the bracha, everybody should say Amen. In the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, make sure you say Amen, but you don't say Amen till the Chazan pronounces the concluding syllable of the bracha. Because the Mishnah Berurah writes that there's an improper practice. The nusach, the nigin, that the Baal Tefillah use, usually misleads the people to say Amen chatufa. They say Amen too early. Like Anyanta Mekadesh Yisrael Bahazma Amen. Usually say Amen before the Chazan finishes. Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Habris. He usually say Amen with the last syllable of the Chazan. Every year he would make the announcement. Make sure you don't begin to say Amen till the Chazan completes the final syllable of the bracha. So they quote from Rabbi Elul Soloveitchik. Yossi used to make this announcement every Rosh Hashanah, because if you answer Amen incorrectly, it's like you didn't answer Amen. If you didn't answer Amen, you don't have nine people answer Amen, so there's no Chazaras Hashat, so there's no, you're not Yeretz Tkiyos, I'll say to our brachas. You have to have nine people, Amen is Likuva in Chazaras Hashat, based on this deal in the Rambam. Anias Amen is Likuva by Chazaras Hashat and by Benshim Mizuah. If they don't answer Amen properly, it's like they didn't answer Amen. They didn't answer Amen, so no one's Yeretz, not just whoever didn't answer Amen properly. Even those who did answer Amen properly, you're not Yotzei the Tkiyos, I'll say to Abrachas. He used to make this announcement every year. I remember when I was Talmud in Yeshiva in high school, in college, we used to have Penach Fishman. I'd learned by Rav Elul Soloveitchik in Europe before the war. So he used to walk from the Bronx, he used to daven in Yeshiva and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So when it came to the end of the bracha, he was davening up in the front of the Beis Medrash. When it came to the end of the bracha, he would turn around, and like a conductor is showing the orchestra when they should play, he would show with his fingers, he shouldn't answer Amen till the Chazan said the final syllable of the bracha. Then he screamed out Amen. He showed everyone, well, he learned Bar Avelba, so that's what they'll be makbid about. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have that practice. There is a din in the Gemara that if a person forgot Yalav Yavai and Shachris of Rosh Chodesh, you have to daven over. The Gemara says if you forget Yalav Yavai and Mairiv and Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat the davening because you have the Kaddish of Chodesh Balailo. That's a problem. How does that apply to Zman Hazeh? The Bezin's not, we have already printed, the Luach is printed 1,000 years in advance. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shiur to explain that also. Beautiful, beautiful shiur. But we'll leave that out for now. So he spoke about this bit, that if one forgets the Yalav Yom and Shachris, you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. What if the Chazan in Chazaras Hashatz forget to say Yalav Yom and Shachris? So the Gemara says the Chazan can rely on the fact that they're going to say, they're going to mention Rosh Chodesh and Musaf. It doesn't even have to be the same Chazan. Since the Tzibur is going to have Chazaras Hashatz Musaf, so if the Chazan forgot Yalav Yom and Shachris, there's no need to repeat Shmona Esrei. So the Magen Avraham has a machlokes achreinim. What if a yochid daven shachris on Rosh Chodesh, we got the Yalav Yavai, and then he daven musaf already? Showed up get daven musaf, and he said Rosh Chodesh and musaf. Does he still have to repeat shachris because he left that Yalav Yavai on hat? So that's a machlokes achreinim. So the Magen Avraham quotes, I think the Shulti Giborim says that b'di'evad yoytzei. L'chatchili, you shouldn't rely on Musaf, but b'li'evad yoytzei. So by the Chazan, because of Tircha de Tzibura, so we say, Shas Hatcha, k'li'evad domi. Shas Hatcha, we allow l'chatchili, which usually is only permissible b'li'evad. So by the Chazaras Hashatz, if the Chazan forgot Yalav Yavai and Shachris, we would permit him l'chatchili to rely on davening Musaf, to Shas Hatcha, k'li'evad domi. Rav Soloveitchik was assuming like that. And then he added on, the Rav Chaim had a comment on this. If b'di'evad, the yochid who already upgedaven musaf doesn't have to repeat the shachris digla shemoneser, so why do we tell him l'chatchila to repeat the shachris? He's yotzei the shachris, and he's going to daven musaf, and he's going to say Haskaras Main Amar Musa. So why did Tamil Khathila? So he said, Rab Chaim understood that it's a Tfilas Nadova. He really yotz a shachris even with that Yalaviyov. So he thought that it's a Tfilas Nadova. Let's say if a person benches on Shabbos and if he leaves that mitzvah, he benches on Yantar, he left that Yalaviyov. So he gave a whole shiur, he explained that you yotzeh the benching. You have to repeat the benching because you're not yotzeh the Suda Shabbos, you're not yotzeh the Suda Yod. And that's why for Shalashudas, the Tosfos is Mesupik, maybe there's no need to have fast, maybe one can be yotzeh Shalashudas with Mini Tagima. So if you would have had Mini Tagima, you wouldn't have to, you wouldn't be mentioning, we'd say, Yalav Yoba at all by the Shalashudas. So even if you had bread, you can't say that you're not yotzeh the Suda if the Suda doesn't require fast. You could have been yotzei the suda without haskaras mein amar and the birchas amozim. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed that b'shem Rav Chaim that by davening shmana esrei also, if you daven shmana esrei on Rosh Chodesh, if you get yalav yavi, you yotzei the tefila, you yotzei the shmana esrei. You're not yotzei the haskaras kedushas hayom. There's a separate din baruch Hashem yom yom b'chol yom hayom tein neim b'chayisum shol yom. You're not yotzei that, but you really are yotzei shachris. If you're going to daven musaf in the zman of shachris. So then, if you daven musaf is man shachris, then you yotzei the haskaras mein amora also. So why the chatchila? Why did the Gemara say the chatchila? You should repeat shachris. They said the repeating of shachris really is the Torah's tefilas nedava, because you were yotzei shachris already. So you're offering a tefilas nedava in order to mention the mein amora before you get to musaf. So then Rab Chaim concluded and he said, but b'zman hazeh the Shulchan Aruch recommends you shouldn't offer any tefilas nedava. Because we're not so into kavanas, we're shvach when it comes to kavanas or tefillah. So we don't recommend anyone should offer tefillah and dover. So he said, b'shem ha'pchai, that b'zman hazeh, we really shouldn't follow the din and the gemara and the shulchan aruch. We really shouldn't repeat the shmona esrei of shachris. If one forgot yalav yovei, he should be lay l'chatchila on the musaf. B'zman ha'gemara, that the Easter once in a while offer a tefillah and dover. So you repeat the shmona esrei of shachris as a tefillah and dover to mention the haskaras mein amar before you get the musaf. But b'zman hazeh, we don't recommend that one should offer a tefillah and dover. Best is to rely l'chatchila on that. So the Eishi's practice would be, the Gemara says you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes, but the Kiddush b'makom suda is satisfied, that requirement is satisfied, but just having cake or cookies, we have to dafke have pas, where you're going to be yotzei the suda. So Soloveitchik gave a whole yotzei drasha, he thought like the Vilna Gaon, Meshem Harosh, that really Kiddush b'makom suda you have to have pas. So his practice used to be, that whenever someone would make a Kiddush, he would always insist on washing. And he said, and even the minig that people have, the common practice all over the world, that they make Kiddush and they have cake. So he said, he doesn't think it's really that we hold like the Goinim. He said that we're makel with a svek svek. Maybe the din is like the Goinim that you use the Kiddush makom suda with cake. Maybe the din is like the Raivah that you're permitted to eat before Kiddush. Whatever you eat in shul is you're eating before Kiddush. When you go home, even those who make Kiddush in shul and had cake, when they go home, they should repeat Kiddush again. You just say Baruch Yagof and you're not saying another bracha. And he personally used to be machmer about that. And he felt that this kula, that people can rely on Kiddush Machmer Suda having cake, he said it's only Shabbos in the morning, not Friday night. The Morgan Avraham says even on Friday night, that a person doesn't feel well, whatever, and they're not interested in eating on Friday night. But they want to say Kiddush, the Morgan Avraham says, let them say Kiddush and have some cake, be Kiddush Machmer Suda, then they'll have over three meals in the daytime. If you didn't have a set shulchan, if you didn't have sudas alayla, then you can have all the three sudas by yom. So the Magen Avraham says you can rely on the goyim even by light. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the minig is not so, that the minig only is in the morning, Shabbos morning, because it's in sirf, it's the svek svek, and maybe the din is like the goyim, that it's you satisfy Kiddush Malkum Suda by having cake. Maybe the din is like the raiva that you're permitted to eat before Kiddush, but it's not that we really paskin like the goyim. Rav Soloveitchik's family had this tradition that they tried to satisfy all the opinions. Try to be yotzei the dekol hashitas. The Mishkan Es Yankov has in his correspondence with Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius, they had a debate about all the Eruvin all over Europe. Mishkan Es Yankov was going out to passel all the Eruvin. He has a few reasons why he holds all the Eruvin are no good. Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius lived in Galicia, so there every community had an Arab. So he defends all the Arabs. In the middle of Mishkan Es Yankov's Tshuva, he has a footnote in the middle of the Tshuva. The Tshuvas are printed in Rashi script, and the footnotes are printed in bold letters and in block letters. So you see, in the middle of the Tshuva on the Eruvin, he writes that there was a theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha in the days of the Hasidic Ashkenaz, the days of the late Balei HaTosfos. In the early days of the Balei HaTosfos, the Democrats voted Democrat and the Republicans voted Republican. The Chachmei Ashkenaz followed Psokim of Rashi and Tosfos, and the Chachmei Sfarad followed the Sfaradish Poskim. In the days of the later Rishonim, Hasidic Ashkenaz, he calls them, they introduce a new thing to try to satisfy all their different opinions. So he gives you a few examples that the Maharam Rutmerg is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch more than 10 times. Then when there's a machloikas, he tried to satisfy both opinions. So the Moshel, on the second night, Rosh Hashanah, there's a machloikas, where they said Shachyanu one night, because it's Yom HaRich, and he already said Shachyanu the first night, so maybe there's no need to say Shachyanu the second night. So the Maharam Rutmerg introduced the practice that you should have a pre-chadosh, a beged chadosh. So for sure the Shachyanu is not a brachal batol. Mikra din we paskin, even if you don't have a beged chadosh, you don't have a pre-chadosh, you do say Shachyanu. And if it's really, the Shachyanu is really on the pre-chadosh or the beged chadosh, then it's a hefsek. He said Kiddush, and you don't drink the wine till after you say Asher Yotza. Guy's saying, Shachyanu on a beged chadosh, it doesn't fit in over here. So it's really be a hefsek. So we really pass kamikaret din. You do say shachyanu, but it shouldn't be a chashash brachal matola. So we have a beggar chodesh and a pre chodesh to satisfy. So that was introduced by the Maharam Rutmer. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch quotes another case in Hilchas Chala. There was a machlokes hatanoim where the May Paris, if you mix flour with May Paris, you didn't use mayim. So the machlokes hatanoim whether it's chayv and chalana, whether May Paris is mitzarif to the shir chal. So there was a machloikis in the days of the early Rishonim. Then they forgot what the psak was. Then there was machloikis in the days of the later Rishonim. There is a real quotes all of this. And then the Maharam Rutmerg was a Talmud of the Urza Ruah. So the Maharam Rutmerg recommends that whenever you want to make a cake and you're going to use May Paris, make sure you pour in a significant amount of water. That water would have been enough to make the whole lisha. So for sure you say a bracha on the challah, otherwise you're going to have an afish challah without a bracha, because there's going to be a machlekes hatanoim, and a machlekes Rishonim how to act. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch over 10 times. They quote such a suggestion from the Maharam Rutenberg to try to do the mitzvahs in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. You look in the Mishnah Berurah, so he took this attitude and he multiplied it by 1,000. Every other page in the Mishnah Berurah, he's always telling how to do the mitzvah, how to observe everything in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So the Soloveitchik family had more like that. So remember on one occasion, Rabbi Soloveitchik never liked going to onset. They had a summer home on Cape Cod, and there wasn't always a minyan there. On Shabbos there was always a minyan. Shacharis, most of the time, there was a minyan. Mechamarev in the weekdays, there wasn't a minyan. So he didn't like going there, but his wife wanted to go. So the wife needed a vacation. He went. After she passed away, he never went back to onset, because he never liked it in the first place. I remember one summer, Michal Shurkin was a Rebbe here in Yerushalayim, one of the yeshivas. Michal Shurkin was related to Rabbi Soloveitchik and to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, to the family. So Michal Shurkin insisted that I should go along with him and he's going to learn by Rabbi Soloveitchik. That was the summer that his father passed away. So he went back to New York to attend his father's wedding. And I was left there all by myself. I didn't want to go in the first place. I only went to be with Michal Shurkin. It was a few days after he left, so I left also. So I remember it was Rosh Chodesh, must have been Rosh Chodesh Av probably, and we were going to eat supper by the Meiselmans. So we were davening Mincha b'Yechidus, there wasn't a Mincha b'Yechidus, and then we washed and we sat down right before the Shkia and we started eating. The Rav Soloveitchik's mother was there, she was benching. After she finishes benching, she turns to us and she says in Yiddish, the Bochim learn in the yeshivas all their lives and they don't know it's a machlokes or Rishonim. Whether you say Yalav Yavai, if you ate on Rosh Chodesh and you bench on Matzoy Rosh Chodesh, 2 days in Shulchan, you don't know it's Machlokes Rosh Chodesh. You don't do what you did. Either you bench before the Shkia like I did, or you wash after the Tzeis HaKochav. Melostach nishtarayin in a Machlokes. You're not supposed to do like you did. So ever since, I remember the Musa. So usually when I have Shalosh Shuvos at home, I always bench before the Shkia. Because Shabbos is also machlekes. If you ate Shabbos Shlitas on Shabbos and you bench on Matzoi Shabbos, whether you say Mitzvah or not, Purim I always bench before the Shkia. I don't want to be light. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin that you do say Allah Nisim. If you ate on Purim and you bench on Matzoi Purim, you paskin do say. But Sof Kol Sof, it's a machlekes. They usually avoid that. So that's what, that was their family tradition. They would always try to avoid getting involved in machlekes. Rav Soloveitchik told over the story that on one occasion, the Agudas Rabbanim had a convention in Atlantic City, and he went with his father to the convention, and the Shabbos was a Shabbos when you're laying Mechubarim, two Sedris. So two Sedris, he could make a lot of Hoysofas, there were a lot of Rabbanim there. So his father sent him to the Gabbai, tell him, you don't make any Hoysofas. Why not? Because the Taz has a Machlekes HaRishayim. It says in the Rishayim that when you have Shnei Mechubarim, two Sedris, you shouldn't be Mechabit one Sedra more than the other. So you should give equal number of Aliyahs. How do you decide equal number of Aliyahs? So the meaning always is you Mechabit by Revi, because there was supposed to be seven Aliyahs on Shabbos. So you give 3.5 in the first Sedra, 3.5 in the second Sedra. Once you Mechabit with Revi, the first Sedra had 3.5, the second has 3.5. So the Hosafas don't count. You can make all the Hosafas you want, but all in the second Sedra. Each Seder should have 3.5 of the Zayin Kruin. Then the Taz quotes other Achrayim who disagree. They say, no, the Gabbai has to make up his mind in advance how many Aliyahs he plans to give. So if he plans to give 10, he should give 5 and 5. If he plans to give 11, he should give 5.5 and 5.5. So because of the Machloikas, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, Lostech Tin Shtarayin in the Machloikas. So whenever you have Mechubarim, you shouldn't make any Hasofis at all. It's not a good idea because Mechubarim, the Kriya Sadgar, is going to take twice as long. And make ourselves going to take 4 times as long. It's not a good idea. But so they had this family practice to try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. We have a minig that when you say Kiddush on Friday night, you cover over the Chalas. What is that all about? So Tosfos quotes 3 different explanations for that. So one explanation is that when the Mon came down in the Midbar, so it was covered on top and on the bottom with tal, shichvas atal. There was tal on the bottom, tal on the top. So we have a tablecloth on the bottom. Then you have the chalas. Then you have a cover on top. The lechem mishnah Shabbos is zeichel aman. Then there's another reason that Tosfos gives, also an agadic reason, that when you have wine with bread that's made from wheat, so that really the bracha on the wheat should precede the wine. They should say Amoitzi first, but we want to say Kiddush beforehand, so we cover over the challah as if the challah is not here, and that's why we shouldn't insult the pas. The pas not getting insulted probably means we should get used to not insulting human beings, so we should practice on the challah not to insult the challah, and then we should have it carry over by human beings, try not to hurt human beings' feelings. So Leitchik said that these are both the agadic explanations that Tosfos says, but the halachic explanation that Tosfos has is the third explanation that Tosfos quotes from the Shi'iltis, that all the food should, every night we eat supper. You always eat supper. So what's different on Friday night? You always eat bread in the morning for breakfast. What's different on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So we cover over, you don't have any food on the table at all till you say Kiddush. You don't bring the food till after you say Kiddush to demonstrate Ge'echa the Tesis Sudas of the Yikar de Shabbat. So Rav Soloveitchik said the first 2 reasons in Tesis are agadic reasons. The third reason is the real halachic reason. So his family practice used to be they wouldn't have any food on the table at all. They wouldn't have any chalas on the table. They'd bring the chalas afterwards. And if you have food on the table, you have to cover over all the food, not just the chalas. If it's Zechel Amon, it's only the man, only the chalas is Zechel Amon. If it's Shalir HaPas Peshasa, it's only the Pas. But if it's the third explanation, Ke'echad the Tesis Sudas of Yikar the Shabbat, then he said more correct is to cover over all of the food on the table. You shouldn't have the gefilte fish exposed. And even on Shabbos morning, it's already in the middle of Shabbos, you thought also more correct is you shouldn't have any food on the table. Whatever food you have, you should cover over all the food. And so Rashi pointed out, Tosfos in the beginning of Bama Madlikin has a discussion when we vacuum the rug on Erev Shabbos, we have 2 mitzvahs that we observe on Shabbos that are Medivri Kabbalah, based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Karas of the Shabbos, and Mekdosh Hashem Mechubad, Kibud V'Yodin. What's the difference in Kibud and Oneg? So Dor HaShulchan has one explanation. Rav Soloveitchik preferred the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in the end of Hilchas Yontav, you have Simchas Yontav, I think the last page in the Mishnah Berurah, Chelekei, where he quotes from the Bir Agrah, that kibud means all the hachanas that you do in advance of Shabbos. The Shabbos and Oinig is when you enjoy the pleasure on Shabbos and on Yontav. So when you light the candles on Erev Shabbos, that's kibud. When you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up on Shabbos, that's Oinig. When you put up the cholent, that's kibud. And when you eat the cholent, that's Oinig. And when you vacuum the rug, that's kibud. When you have to get dressed in advance, before Shabbos begins, you take a shower. So all, whenever we do kibud, we don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha when you take a shower. You don't say a bracha when you set the table. You don't say a bracha when you vacuum the rug and put up the cholent. Manishtana hadlokas aneris. Why do we say a bracha when we light the candles? Why is this hachana different from all the others? And one opinion in Tosis is, Daka, you don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha. But yes, it's so ingrained in us that you do say a bracha. In Yiddish, you say, Iben Shlicht. It's built into Iben Shlicht. You don't light the candle. Ben Shlicht means that you're saying a bracha. So why is it different? So some historians say that the bracha was introduced in the days of the Gaonim because they were fighting against the Karaim. The Karaites said, you're not allowed to leave any lights on. You used to sit in the dark. In the days of the Gaonim, when they were dealing with the Karaim, so the simon that a home was orthodox was if it was lit up. If it was dark in the home, you knew that they were Karaites. When I was a little boy, when I was growing up, so the Orthodox Jews were not so wealthy. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the simon at the home is Orthodox if it's dark in the home. If the lights are on, they're not going to leave the lights on the whole shop. They're going to turn it off. So obviously they're not Orthodox. Times change. So kibud is all the hachanas you do in advance. So that's what the historians suggest, that maybe the bracha of hadlokas aneris is introduced in the days, and we don't have any earlier source. Tosfos quotes that it says in the Yerushalmi. We don't have such a Yerushalmi. Some commentaries think that Tosfos always quotes from outside sources, from Tshuvas HaGoyim, maybe they call that Yerushalmi, because we don't have such a Yerushalmi. So then Tosfos defends the practice, why do say bracha? And there's a quote in Shulchan Aruch like that. Unlike vacuuming the rug, let's say the elves would come and vacuum the rug. Someone comes, the angels come and they vacuum the rug. Someone came and they brought the chant, everything. Someone set the table. Do I have the mitzvah to undo the set table and do it over again? If everything is prepared, so you don't have to make any hachanas for Shabbos. The one exception to the rule is hadlokas aneris. Even though the whole house is lit up with candles on Erev Shabbos, so Tosfos says the proper practice is you turn out all the lights and then you turn on the lights again, l'shem Shabbos. So the Ramah quotes this from the Rabbi Natan. The reason why we say bracha and hadlokas aneris, because unlike all the other hachanas for Shabbos, if everything is already prepared, the table is set already. Someone else came and set the table. Someone else brought all the chon. Someone else vacuumed the rug. You don't need a shower. If you don't need a shower, where are you going to take another shower? If you don't need it, you don't need it. The one hachana that you have to do, even if you don't really need it, is to turn off the lights and turn the lights on again. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that that's what one should do. We usually have the electric lights on all day long. And then we go and you light the candles. So that's Shraga B'Tihara. So he said, that's not really right. The correct practice is you should turn off the electric lights, then light the candles, turn on the electric lights, and the bracha goes on everything. And everything that you did. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, so we have a practice that the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah, and he says, "Chaver Mekol Yisrael V'Noymer Amen." So, what is this all about? So, it's rooted in a Tosfos in Brachas. Tosfos quotes something like that from the days of the Goyim. So, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Pshat is like this. In the earlier days, when there was a Sanhedrin, so the Sanhedrin would appoint a Bezna of 3 or Bezna of 7 to make Ibar HaShana, or 3 to make Kiddush HaChodesh. And they would declare Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a Sanhedrin. So the Klal Yisrael has to do it. So how you mitzarf Klal Yisrael together? So Rav Sadya Gaon has a line in Amunas V'Deis where he writes, Eina Masayna Huma, Ela B'Tarasa. The thing that's mitzarf Klal Yisrael together is the fact that we have the Sefer Torah. So the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah. This is the Mitzarev of Klal Yisrael. And he screams out, Chaver Mekol Yisrael, everybody's Mitzarev Yachad. And then when we declare Mayim HaShchadish is, the Jews all over the world that declare Mayim HaShchadish is. So all of Klal Yisrael is making the day into HaShchadish. So he gave a whole shiur that sometimes there are two parshias at Bez Nagadol. Sometimes the Bez Nagadol functions as the Supreme Court, the Paskan and Shabbos. There it doesn't matter what the population says, whether they agree with the Pesach or not. Bez Nagadol are the Paskan. But when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana, the Gemara says that Tosefta like that, you can only make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana. Amanasha Yirtzah HaTzibur. If the Tzibur doesn't accept it, if the Tzibur doesn't accept the Pesach and Hilcha Shabbos, are tough luck. They have to accept it. That's the Pesach. But if the Tzibur doesn't accept the decision by Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana, then it's Taka not Chal. So Bizman Hazeh, the Koyach of the Sanhedrin, Bizman Shehoyu Mekachem HaPiyariya, was really, it came from Klal Yisrael. So today the mitzvah goes back to the Klal Yisrael to demonstrate that all the Klal Yisrael is mitzvah of Yachad. So the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah and it says, Chavim Klal Yisrael number. Amen. And we proclaim when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. So he thought that that was the Hezber and the Minig that we have. So the Ejik used to complain. The Aruch HaShulchan has this, but he used to complain also. On Yom Kippur, we have a lot of slichas by Ma'ariv. After we daven tefillah b'lachim, there is no chazoras on Shas by Ma'ariv, but we have a lot of slichas. And then by Nila, we have a lot of slichas. And by Shachar, Musa v'Mincha, the printers left out all the slichas. And all the old machzorim, you have a ton of slichas. And that different minhagim, how many times they say Yud Gimel Nidus? In Shachris and in Musaf and in Mincha, you look in the Rishon and they say 13 times the Yud Gimel Nidus, 7 times. So he introduced it. He said it's not right. More correct is you have to say Slichas, even in Shachris and Musaf and in Mincha, like the Aruch HaShulchan complains. And he introduced that they should say at least 7 times in Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. And instead of saying 7 long piyutim, 7 long Slichas, they used to take one and has 7 stanzas. So they say one stanza and they say Yud Vayav Hashem Apanav Yikra, and say the next stanza and say again Vayav Hashem Apanav Yikra, and so on. But he insisted that more correct is you should say the slichas, even the shachris, and the musaf and the mincha. I remember on Rosh Hashanah once, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Rav Soloveitchik asked his wife, what does she have for Shechyana for the second night of Rosh Hashanah? So she said she bought some fresh grapes. So he said, oi, the meaning is that you don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. They quote from the Vilna Gaon, you don't eat grapes. They don't explain why not. So he said, he thinks the reason why is because there are different opinions what the Chet Tzeit Hadas was. The Chet, we say Rosh Hashanah was Hayom HaRosalim, is the birthday of the world. What do you mean? It's the first day of Sheshes Meberashis. Our tradition has it, no, it's the sixth day of Sheshes Meberashis, the day on which Adam Rishon was created, and he sinned the same day that he was created, the eighth and the eighth Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? So there are different opinions in the Medrash. None of the Tanaim were there. So there was no eyewitness reports over there. So one version has it is that it must have been grapes, because from grapes make wine, and wine people get drunk, and they sin, they do all kinds of averus. So because there's one opinion that the Eitz Hadas was grapes, so that's why the Vilna Gaon had a meaning, you shouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, don't look for trouble. So he said, oh, Gevald, you brought grapes. The meaning is, with a meaning from the Gro, you don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Others, Rav David Cohen in his Svarim on the city, he doesn't like that explanation. That is because of the Eitz Hadas. He thinks it's for some other reason. But that's Rav Soloveitchik thought. The Aruch HaShulchan also has a complaint why Rosh Chodesh Chodesh B'Shab is every couple of months. Rosh Chodesh every 5-6 months. Rosh Chodesh falls out every 3-4 months. Rosh Chodesh falls out on the Shabbos. So on a normal Shabbos in Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, we always say in the concluding paragraph, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, somehow they left that out. No one understands why. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out in the Sidurim of the Eidot HaMizrach, not Nusach Svarim. In Eidot HaMizrach, they do have it there. So he says, more correct is, when Rosh Chodesh Chodesh is B'Shabbos, you should say that Nusach HaTfilah. So they say the Rav Soloveitchik also thought like that, that it's not right, like the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not right that you leave that out. That's supposed to always be complained, always be included in the concluding paragraph of the Brach HaMitzvos of the Shemoneh Esrei. Hadlokas HaNeres on Chanukah, Rav Soloveitchik had traditions from his father. He said his father held that you only do the Hadloka in Shul with the Brach if it's between Mincha and Ma'arev. You have to have a Tzibur. Has to be a hadlok al yedei tzibur. So before, let's say, if you're running late on Friday afternoon, and you're going to wait till they daven mincha in the shul, so it's going to be after the shkia, but it's going to be so close to the shkia, so it won't be a good time to light Chanukah lit. So the common practice is that people, the chazan lights the nearest Chanukah before mincha. So he said his father thought that that's not right, that even in shul when there are weekdays, when you daven mincha and ma'ariv, let's say in the Beis Medrash, we daven mincha 2:30 every day, then we daven ma'ariv at 6:30. So when it's shkia time, 4:30, it's not mincha, it's not ma'ariv. So we light the neres in Beis Medrash, we don't say a bracha. So his father said, you only say a bracha when you're lighting in between mincha and ma'ariv, when you have a tziruf of a tzibur for mincha. That was his lashon. You have 10 people reading the Maariv Shanah, that's called a tzibur. It's not a tzibur, it's a tzibur, it's tarf of a davish of kedusha. So if they daven mincha, they said kedusha, they said kaddish, there's a davish of kedusha, you need a minion. So they, when it's tarf of yachad, as a minion, and they plan to dav Maariv right away, if they're going to learn in between mincha and Maariv, they're going to learn Mishnayos around Yankov, then they're going to dav Maariv another 25 minutes, so the minion disappeared already. But if they dav the mincha, they plan to dav Maariv immediately, before Tzeis HaKachav, so then in between mincha and Maariv, so then you have the tzibur. So the tzibur should have the meaning is that you have hadlokas haneres b'tzibur. So he thought that it's not right that you always, when you have a chagiga, when the students used to have a chagiga in YU, so someone would always, they would have a chazan, he would say hadlokas haneres, or the men's club has a meeting, or in Times Square, Lubavitch lights there. So that bracha, so he thought that that's a bracha of Altalis, that there is no such meaning. Meaning only is in between mincha and ma'ariv. Then he had from his father also, they say b'shem Rab Chaim, that the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, points out that there's a big machlokes of Rishonim when one recites the bracha shos and nisim lavasein. So the Ramah quotes in the Maril that all the brachas are recited over lasiyos. We say lahalkinah shachanek and shos and nisim and shachyonu, everything before you light the neiris. But the Gemara has a din haroya ner shel chanukah. If I'm walking in the street, I'm a bum, I sleep in the park. I don't have a home. So the hadlaka of the beso I can't fulfill. So one who doesn't have beso, so when he sees haroya ner shel chanukah, should say a bracha, shos anisim and shachyona the first night. And the other nights he just says shos anisim, he don't say shachyona. So others are of the opinion, that's the way it says in Masech HaSofrim, written by the Gaonim, others are of the opinion that even if you're lighting there is Chanukah, the only bracha you say, well, I'll see awesome, is lighting there shall Chanukah. The other brachas are Bichas Haraya. You light the Neris, and then you see the Neris Adlid. So just like the bum who sleeps in the park says a bracha Bichas Haraya, so the Madlik also says a bracha, but there is Bichas Haraya, not Bitaras Hadlokah. So you should really say, Shasanisim Shachyanu, after the Hadlokah. So he said his father had the following practice. On the first night of Chanukah, you're either going to follow the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, you're going to follow the Masech HaSam, so you got to follow Shulchan Aruch. So you say all the three brachas, but the second night there's a way to satisfy the both opinions. That was their family tradition. They took the practice of the Hasidic Ashkenaz, try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions, and they multiplied it many times over, like the Mishnah Berurah did. So he said the second night of Chanukah on, you say the bracha of l'hadik neshal chanuk, light one candle, and then say the bracha shos and nisim, so it's birchas haraya on the first nair, and say v'lasi asam on the second nair. That was his father's compromise. Had a lot of practices that he, most of his practices were not his own original chidushim, most of them were family traditions or other gedolim. Many of the students of learned Barab Soloveitchik in the early years, they didn't understand that these were all old traditions. They thought, he's making up all these new chidushim, so just like Kazer Eve Kadesh, just like he's originating things, they thought they can also originate the new minhagim. They can change all the minhagim. He was a big stickler to minhagim. And whatever the family tradition was, he would do. But the few things that he did on his own were very few. Most of the practices that he had were traditions that he had from others. I remember once Mrs. Soloveitchik was asking her husband, when you go touring in Vilna, so they say before the war, I think they said there were over 1,000 shuls in Vilna, and after that there was only one shul that was left, the Nazis used it as a stable for the horses, and that's known as the choir shul. So it has a balcony upstairs for the women, like over here, but the religious Jews never, the real B'nai Torah never davened in that shul. So Mrs. Soloveitchik was asking her husband, how come the religious Jews, the B'nai Torah never davened in the shul? It was an Orthodox shul. They used to use an Orthodox sitter. It wasn't Reform. So he said to her, Tanya, was verstehst du nicht? An Orthodox shul means when the balcony is in the back. But if it's a U-shaped balcony, so the men sitting over there can look upstairs to see the women. Das ist schon modern. That's not real Orthodox. He said, that choir shul was Peretz Gedder. They had a U-shaped balcony. The people from Breuers are not happy to hear that, because they have a U-shaped balcony, so they consider themselves a Kodesh Kadosh. But that's what he said. That's the reason why the Bnei Torah boycotted that shul. They never davened. I remember when I was touring in Vilna the first time, so someone asked our tour guide. Our tour guide was a Goyish girl, but she knew Hebrew, and she knew her father was Jewish. She knew she was reading all the Svarim. She knew who learned with whom the Harusa, and Volozhin, who wrote which Svarim. She knew everything. So someone asked her that they read somewhere that Rabbi Chaim Reuze used to enjoy music, but he never went to the concerts. So he used to daven in the shul that had a chazan and a choir. So they asked, is this the shul? Oh, he said, oh no, she says. No, the Bnei Torah never daven in the shul. She didn't know why, but said Bnei Torah always boycotted the shul. They were never daven. So Rabbi Zalechik said, that's why. Because it was modern. It had a U-shaped balcony upstairs, and the people in the back can see the women on top. So Veshik had a diuk from the Rambam that Kiddush should be, the meaning in the Rambam's time was that the Kiddush was recited by Yeshiva, not by Amida, because the Rambam writes that on Leil Sukkos, since at the end of the Kiddush you're going to say the Bracha, Leisha Basukkah, and the Bracha should be recited by Lasi Asam. So you say the whole Kiddush by Amida, and then you sit down after you say Leisha Basukkah. So the Mashmas of the Rambam means that all year long, when you're not saying Leisha Basukkah, that the Kiddush should be recited by Yeshiva. So that was his practice. He used to recite Kiddush by Yeshiva. I remember once Rabbi Gifter was telling us that he went through all of the Minhagim. He says when he was growing up, his father was a Balabas, so he used to recite the whole Kiddush standing up. Then when he went to Europe to learn, he was born in Virginia. He was brought up in the South, and he spoke Yiddish with a Southern drawl, spoke English with a Southern drawl, spoke Yiddish with a Southern drawl. Then when he said he went to Europe, so he learned in the Telzi Yeshiva, so he said by Chula standing up, and then they sat down for Berak Pi'agofen in the Kiddush. Then later on in life, he picked up the next minute that you only say Yom Hashish Bechul HaShemayim, Rosh HaTevet, Yudkei Vavkei. Then he sat down in the middle of Vaychul. How do you sit down without spilling the wine? I don't know, but that's what he said. Then he said, then at the end of his life, he wasn't healthy at all, so he couldn't stand. But then he said, later he adapted the other meaning, he sit down for everything. He went through all the four minhagim during his lifetime. He changed three times till he came to the last minhag. He sit down for the whole Kiddush in the Yom HaShishim v'Chol HaShemayim. But Rav Soloveitchik said, this is the diuk, the mashmos in the Rambam. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a machloikis in Rishonim where the Tashrat should be b'nishimachas of b'shtei nishimas. On the Shulchan Aruch, they assume, Machaber recommends you should do both. So you should do tkiyas the miyushu, tkiyas the miyumad, but some of them you do b'nishimachas, some of them you do b'shtei nishimas. The Ramah says not so. Ramah says the Ikaret din really is that you do b'shtei nishimas. So Rav Soloveitchik's practice was fakert. He thought Mi'ikaret din must have been the family practice. Mi'ikaret din should really do Tashrat b'nishimachas. But you have to satisfy the other opinions. So he used to blow tkiyas before Musaf, then tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah Belachas, and tkiyas the Miuman. So all the tkiyas were always finishim achas. Then at the end, in order to be mashlem Meir Koila, so he would blow instead of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, he would blow Tashrat three times, b'shtei nishim. So everybody knew, instead of Meir Koila, it's 102 Koilas. Because instead of the last set was instead of Tashrat Tashrat Tarat, it would be Tashrat 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 B'shtei Neshimas. So I remember I was once talking to one of the people who was brought up in Boston. So I asked him, we were at a family simcha in Mishpocha. So I asked him, tell me all the Sama Hanhogas from Absalvation. He said he does know what's unique. He was brought up all his life in Boston. He thought everything was normal. He didn't realize it. So he said, till he came to Karabi Yavne after high school, and here's the blowing normal Tashrat, he said, what's Gate of Fall? What's going on over here? That's not the way you blow shofar. Till they told him, no, in Boston everything is different. All over the world, nobody does like that. Rav Soloveitchik, as a child, before Bar Mitzvah, came up with this Hamtzoel. Then instead of blowing three shvarim, two, you should blow five very short shvarim to satisfy the two opinions. Tosis raises an issue. If you're going to blow shvarim, tuhu, so you have three trumitin so long, so according to some, that's already a tkiyah. So it's not a shvarim. So Rav Soloveitchik came up with this Einfall. We should blow 5 shvarims. Each one should be less than 3 trumitin. And you have 9 trumitin altogether, so you satisfy the both opinions. So Moshe Soloveitchik sent a letter to his father, Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim adopted it. He loved his grandson so much, he thought he was an Eloi, Rav Yosher Ber. So he introduced it. Even after Rav Chaim passed away, Rav Dovala continued like that in Europe. Before the war, Rav Dovala continued. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion as a child. So after the war, Rav Dovala moved to Eretz Yisrael, he discontinued. He didn't do it anymore. But Rav Soloveitchik continued. This was his chiddush. That's what Avraham Soloveitchik told us. That was his brother, Rav Yosher Ber's chiddush, that he should blow the five shvarim and satisfy the both opinions. Rav Soloveitchik had a tremendous sense of humor, and even in learning, he would sometimes kibitz around. So I remember he would, every so often, he would tell us over the Ibn Ezra, Ala Torah, on the Pasuk, Yigach Sharish Shore Yehu. So the Ibn Ezra quotes one of the Karaim who says, Shore Yehu, the Shore killed another Shore. Pashpshat Shore Yehu, Yigach Sharish, Shore Yehu, my Shore killed your Shore. The Ibn Ezra quotes Ben Zuta, I think, some Karaim, that the Shore killed another Shore, his buddy. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun, Ein Shore Reya Ela Ben Zuta Bilvan. Behemoths don't have Re'eh. Re'eh was only on human beings. So he used to, every so often, he would say over this whenever it fit in. Or he would say over the Ibn Ezra, also on Parshas Mishpatim. So the Karayim interpret, I think also the Ben Zuta, someone else. But Le'oscha means you shouldn't postpone your wife becoming pregnant. When the wife is pregnant, she has a full belly. And the Macha represents the Tipa Shichva Zera. So the Ibn Ezra, you shouldn't postpone having children. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun. She should say faket. She should say she doesn't become pregnant before the Sheikh Vazer. He used to say over these Ibn Ezras. He used to say over every so often, every year and a half or so, when he would be giving a public talk. So he would say over from Shadal that Shadal was an Orthodox Jewish thinker. At the time of the beginning of the Reform Movement. So the Reform Movement first decided to do away with the second Yom Kippur. No one understands Yom Kippur anyway, it's an Aramaic. So then enough, we say one Yom Kippur. So they decided to leave out the second Yom Kippur. And then 3 years later, they had another conference. They decided to leave out the first Yom Kippur. No one understands it anyway. Then later, they changed the whole Tfilah into German. But first, they left out the second Yom Kippur. So Shadal was making fun. In English, I think they call it the salami technique. You slice off one slice, another slice, another slice, and there's going to be nothing left. If they keep on slicing, you cut things off, there's going to be nothing left at the end. So Shadal made fun. Once you leave out one Yom Kippur, everything is going to go, by the way. So he said, the pasuk says, by the Mabul, by Yimachas Kol Haikum. You're going to wipe off one Yom Kippur, you're going to wipe off everything. Everything's going to disappear. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say this every 2 years. So, and the drushes were in Yiddish. So he handpicked a certain person from Eretz Yisrael whom he knew from Europe from before the war. He should translate into Hebrew. So the one who translated it didn't understand what the pun was. Rav Soloveitchik's drushes in Yiddish, if he didn't understand his language, he didn't understand even the jokes. He didn't understand even the Sichas Chulin. Whoever didn't understand the Shirin Halacha wouldn't understand the Shirin Hashkafa either. So he translated into Hebrew. Awesome, and this book has Rav Soloveitchik's copyright on it, and they never corrected it. It said, "Osam eranim shemachkum in a sidur as a yikum purkin halchu umachkum in a chumish as a pasuk vayimachus kol haikum." So what's the fun? So what's the joke over there? It's very unfortunate that many of the people who attended his class who didn't understand the shiurim, but they thought they understood the hashkafa. Whoever didn't understand the halacha didn't understand the hashkafa. Even the hashkafa was based on, he used to use expressions, he used to use bituyim from the Gemara, like in the hesped that he delivered for Rav Chaim Oizer. They invited him, Rav Lezer Silver was the president of the Agudas Rabbanim at that time. He lived in Shinshineti, as we all know, so he invited Rav Soloveitchik, he went by plane, and he delivered a hesped. So first they had one of the European Rabbanim say a hesped, Rav Chaim Oizer, who spent years with Rav Chaim Oizer. He was crying, and he was saying how great Rav Chaim Oizer was. And then Rav Lezer Silver got up after the first hesped, who was very close to Rav Chaim Oizer, and he said, Rav Yehuda Nasi died, he left instructions, Al tispeduni ba'ayoras. You shouldn't deliver hesped in the little villages, because he was the chief rabbi. A little village is going to be a small island. It's a bizoyan to the chief rabbi to have a small island. We should only deliver hespedim in the big cities. There'll be a big crowd. So that's what the Gemara quotes. And the Ksuvus Altis Bedunia Bayom. So the Blazer Silva got up. This is what they told me over. And he said, there's a klein shtetl dicke attitude. People who come from little villages have little hasogas. And he says, the next speaker is going to deliver a hesped. He's from the big city. The one who spoke first was very close to Reb Chaim Weizen. He said, the next speaker is going to be Reb Yoshe Ber. This is going to be a real knockout hesped. So in his hesped, he developed the whole, it's printed, the hesped is printed. So in the hesped, he used an expression, L'machtza l'shlish v'levia. So the people didn't know, people who read the hesped, it's printed, didn't know, they never heard that expression. Talmudic expression. A lot of times when he spoke Hashkofi, he would use Talmudic expressions. And it's very unfortunate. A lot of people didn't understand his Sichas Chulin, and they misunderstood what he said. Very often he would have, let's say, you don't get along with your mother-in-law, so I would tell Rabbi Soloveitchik, I'm considering killing her. So he would say, I wouldn't recommend it. Oh, he didn't say it's awesome. He said, I wouldn't recommend it. See, it's really mutter. That's why they're on the diet. That was his way of speaking. That's it. They would be medayik about women's prayer group. He wouldn't recommend it. Doesn't mean that he holds mikra at dinner, but he would recommend it. That was his way of saying no. A lot of things like that. He had his own signon. He had his own style. His own style in giving the shiur also. He used to say, the Torah Shebichsav, he has it printed. Torah Shebichsav, this is specific text in psuchas and stumas and molim yachas, has to be like that. Torah Shebalpeh, each person expresses in his own way. And each person has his own. So he didn't always say everything is Gabra Heftz. But many of the people who printed his Torah took his Torah, they put it into a straight jacket. Everything has to be Gabra Heftz. That's not the way he presented the Shurim. Every Sugi he would use a different lashon, a different expression. There's so much to say over from Rav Soloveitchik. He was really multifaceted. Everybody saw a different aspect of him. I said over just some of the Zechrenes that come to mind. Without even thinking. Okay, a good Shabbos, everybody.
I want to thank again Yeshiva University and Yeshiva University of Israel for giving us this fantastic opportunity to have Shefka here. Of course, I want to thank Seth Grossman and the Grossman family for sponsoring the shiur in memory of Seth's father, David Ben Menachem Manis. And I want to thank all the shuls again. And thank you for coming. Please save the date. We're going to have a shiur in the week before Pesach with Asher Weiss. Stay tuned for date, time, location.